We're going to look now at the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Erin Carmone is senior correspondent at New York Magazine and co-author of Notorious RBG, The Life and Times of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Erin, as someone who has spent time with Justice Ginsburg, what stands out to you most?
Well, I knew when I teamed up with Shauna Knizhnik, who came up with the Notorious RBG nickname, that Justice Ginsburg was a giant of the law. But what we actually learned when we researched and reported on her life and had a chance to get to know her personally was how much her own life had shaped her view on the law and how much adversity she'd overcome. And she was determined to transform the world so that other people didn't have to be limited by gender the way that she'd been treated in her life. And so this kind of interplay between the life she lived, where she used to say she had three strikes against her. She was a woman, she was a mother, and she was a Jew. And her legal, both her litigation and her work as a judge, was something that was really important to us to bring out.
You wrote a moving piece over the weekend where you painted the picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life growing up and some of those obstacles that she faced. Her family didn't have a lot of money. Her sister died of meningitis when Ginsburg was 2 years old. Her mother died of cancer when she was finishing high school. What do these moments of Ginsburg's life growing up tell us about her career decisions?
Ginsburg was really close to her mother, and her mother was somebody who had shown enormous curiosity and potential, but hadn't been able to get an education because she was a girl, and she actually went and worked in a sweatshop to pay her brother's tuition at Cornell. And so young Ruth, who lost her mother the day before her high school graduation, actually thought very hard about how to live up to the dreams that her mother had for herself and then for her daughter. And she then fought using the tools that she had as a lawyer and then later as a justice to make sure that we, the people, included everybody and didn't narrowly define what it meant to be a woman or what it meant to be a man. She experienced pain not just in her childhood, but, you know, her husband struggled with cancer when they were at Harvard Law School. He then was taken from her in 2010, again, cancer, the same thing that took her from us. And she turned all of that pain into a work ethic that it was not just about her own achievement, but was really about transforming the world for the better.
And you also mention in your piece that her precision only hid her warmth. What do you mean by that?
Well, there are a lot of paradoxes at the heart of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was ladylike, but she was revolutionary in her ideas. She was an institutionalist for most of her life, but she became the Notorious RBG by challenging the institution of the Supreme Court with her series of really searing dissents. And she was an introvert who was larger than life. She was actually pretty shy. When you would spend time with her, she didn't make a lot of eye contact. She spoke very slowly, very, very thoughtfully, but she showed up. I had the great honor of Justice Ginsburg officiating my wedding. And I think she liked showing up at weddings because they were joyful. You know, I talk about in my piece about how she used to cry at the opera. She had this incredible love affair with her husband. She was devoted to her family. And so as much as she had this kind of fanatical drive, she was also someone who was really emotional.
Hmm. That nickname, Notorious RBG, is in reference to the late rapper, the Notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace. They were both from Brooklyn. And, you know, we started to see after this that people began wearing Notorious RBG T-shirts. There are bumper stickers. Why do you think Ginsburg has become such a cultural icon for women and young people at such a late age?
You know, when I was a child, there was in my school library a bookshelf that had biographies. And I remember by heart that there were only two of women. And one was Mary Todd Lincoln, and the other one was Julia Ward Howe. And I read them over and over again. Hmm. Children's literature has come a long way, but there's still such a hunger to hear the stories of women that were written out of our history. And I think, you know, there's an ongoing debate about whether it matters to have representation at the highest echelons of institutions. And I think she modeled how to do that while staying really true to who she was. She used that perch to talk about who had been left out of the Constitution, to talk about who we the people should have included.
Do you believe that will be her legacy?
Yeah, you know, I asked her when I interviewed her in 2015 how, when the time came, she would want to be remembered. And she said that she wanted to be remembered as somebody who used whatever ability she had to heal tears in the world. And I think we could all agree that the world is pretty broken right now. And she left behind a legacy of doing her best to repair it. At the same time, the tragedy is that if Donald Trump replaces her, that will be part of her legacy too, her decision to stay on the court, which she made very deliberately, in the end, unfortunately, stands to undo some of the work that she did. But that said, I think, you know, it's much bigger than any one appointment, the body of work that she's left behind. In 10 years, she transformed. This is 10 years she spent as the co-founder of the ACLU Women's Rights Project. She transformed women's status under the Constitution. And that, I hope, will be durable.
Erin Carmon is senior correspondent at New York Magazine and co-author of Notorious RBG, The Life and Times of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tanya.